Gracias, Presidenta. Buenas tardes a todos los presentes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and a good afternoon to everyone. A warm welcome to the delegation of the State of Honduras. Thank you very much for this gathering, for this meeting. It is an opportunity for us to ask questions and rounds of questions so that this dialogue can be as open as possible, as constructive as possible, as participative as possible. The idea being to make the best possible observations and recommendations to the country. First off, I'd just like to introduce you to the team that I have with me this afternoon, Madam Susan Ajo, Mr. Luis Pedernera, Mr. Benoit van der Kirschbilik, and yours truly, Rosaria Correa. I will be beginning then. I will have two clusters. 7 and 8. Children with disabilities, and also the matter of the environment. We have had responses to our list of issues, and in paragraph 11, you have informed us of a series of measures. These measures are tied to the adoption of procedural manuals for certification from your Center for Children, Adolescents, and Families, CINAF, the adoption of the Year of Inclusion 2022, also significant budget allocation for children with disabilities in the educational system, teacher training, and also stipends, and some kits to be distributed, as well as the financing of projects and programs developed together with CSOs. I would like, if I might, to hail all of this progress. However, I'm not entirely clear on what the current situation is for the rights in general of persons of minors, specifically with disabilities. Are there or are there not specialized public policies that are cross-sectoral, in addition to those which have been listed in the area of education and health? The goal, of course, being to ensure the rights and equal opportunities for family, community, and social inclusion. And this also is tied to the allocation of sufficient resources for the effective implementation of these programs and projects. That should include, of course, effective monitoring and oversight. Secondly, do you have information on the evaluation or the assessment of the results that arose from the adoption of measures that you have indicated having adopted? What are the measures that you're adopting in order to put into place an effective detection system for abuse and ill treatment of children with disabilities, both in family units, but also in the educational healthcare settings and in other institutions? What is being done to bring the system of guarantees into step, the system of guarantees of rights of the children, that is, into step with the other rights of the children? That is to say, how are you incorporating the public policies for disabilities with the public policies for the rights of children and adolescents? How are you articulating these two aspects? According to information that we've received, this committee understands that in the country there are some 800,000 individuals that are facing some type of specific disability. However, there's no data or indicators, poverty indicators, that's broken down by sector. So, data on disabilities, as I've just mentioned, do you plan to undertake a detailed census in order to accurately identify the realities of this population? And thus, if you do plan to undertake such a census, it would allow you to identify the different types of disabilities and the needs that these groups face, the idea being to move towards the inclusion of these of children that have these disabilities in all sectors. Also, our committee, or rather the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in 2017, offered an observation. It was noteworthy, and it had to do with the legislation on children not having explicitly protection from discrimination. I should like to ask if this has been corrected in your domestic legislation. Is it something that is yet to be done? Are there sufficient measures to prevent the abandoning of children with disabilities, leaving them in institutions, for example? Are there specific measures for those children with disabilities that live in rural communities, indigenous communities, or Afro-Honduran communities? Do you have statistics on children that are not in a family environment, but rather that are in institutions? Now, you have noted that Honduras has a high risk area. So I'd like to ask what the strategy you have when it comes to preparing the population, and particularly children and adolescents, to live in a region afflicted by climate change. And is this, you mentioned that this is mentioned in the school curriculum, how is the public environmental policy put together, environmental and climate policy, addressing risk zones, incorporating the rights of children into this? What actions are being taken to incorporate these children into the plans and strategies so that the children can fully benefit from the actions taken by the state? What actions have been made in the Secretariat to address the recommendations made by the committee, disseminating the recommendations, and this includes CRC General Comment 26 on children and the environment. Also, bearing in mind that there is the Escazú Agreement, which is to the benefit of children, what is the state of Honduras doing to sign and ratify that agreement? At this point, that sums up my questions. I cede the floor.